Blog Talk Radio.
You know very well who you are. Don't let them hold you down. Breathe for the stars. You had a goal, but not that many. 'Cause you're the only one I'll give you good today.
A sports show for everyone, but we do cater to the novice female sports fans because we are in the business of helping to educate the ladies on the fundamentals of baseball, basketball, and football, all right? Coming to you each and every Wednesday night. This is our last one-hour show. The Lenten season is coming to an end. Resurrection Sunday is this Sunday, April the 9th, all right? So hopefully you have been praying and fasting and you know, putting out there what you want God to help you accomplish and the person that you want to be for the rest of the year and going forward. All right, but yes, the Lenten season is coming to a close, so the one-hour shows are coming to a close. We will be back to our regularly scheduled programming next Wednesday, 8 to 10 p.m., but right now it's 9 to 10, and there are several ways for you to join the show. One, pick up your telephone, dial 347-826-7924. You can also log on to blogtalkradio.com/LLSports2, or you can join us live and in living color, as they are doing now. They are coming on. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Ah, I have no idea where that song came from, because ain't nobody fighting on the timeline. I just like that song. All right. Anyway, Frederick, thank you so much for tuning into the show. My Auntie Kim, my Auntie Karen is in the house, and you already know Denise Green is holding down the fort for you, girl. All right, but let's see, did I get all the housekeeping out of the way? Yeah, go to the blog talk. You can sign up. Make sure to activate your email, otherwise your name and number won't be counted. You can also find us in iTunes. But for everybody tuning into the show, share the show, okay? Share the show. Whether you share it, whether you post it on your page, however you do it, just share the show. All right, but now we are about to share this knowledge. That's what we're going to do, because we are about to bring in the lovely ladies who make up this wonderful show. Let's see. We are going to the phone lines. The phone lines are here, and we have the triple threat in the house tonight. It is A. Lou. It is Janelle. It is TJ. Ladies, welcome.
Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, ladies. Ladies, good evening.
What's up, Frederick? Frederick says, hey, Tina, at work, tune in for a minute. All right, thank you so much. And for everybody who, whether 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour, thank you for the support. Just make sure that you share the show. All right, tell a friend. All right, ladies. Man, I just have one question. What did we do before internet? My goodness. The internet goes out, y'all. Your whole world is upside down. Okay.
And the phone.
Man, oh, man. But we are back. We are back tonight, ladies. So let us go ahead. We want to jump into it because we just here for an hour. I have to ask, ladies, we're going to kick it off with something different. We normally don't talk about it, but, of course, we have got to talk about the headlines dominating the news here regarding NCAA women. Shout out to the Lady Tigers, LSU, the women's ladies, are you up on the storylines of, first, the backlash that Angel Reese, who is the forward for LSU, the kind of the flack that she's been getting for her celebratory gestures, and then our first lady, her comments regarding the visit to the White House. Are you up on those stories, ladies?
I know what was going on with the team and the controversy between the two leads on both teams, actually. But I hadn't heard anything about the White House situation.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I'm going to give you a little detail, some of you, if you want to look it up. But, well, you know, we're going to go over it. But first we're going to talk about the reaction to Angel Reese and her celebratory gestures after winning the championship. So, but before I get started, I must give her props, okay, and her being Caitlin Clark of Iowa. She's the Iowa guard, 6 foot junior guard for Iowa. Recently won the Wooden Award. So for those who may not know, she won the 2023 Wooden Award. That is given to the nation's most outstanding college basketball player. So Caitlin Clark is the truth, okay? Stephen A. calls her the Steph Curry of women's basketball. But in addition to the Wooden Award, she has also earned the Naismith Trophy, the Associated Press Player of the Year, the Wade Trophy, and USBWA National Player. So she has won all of those awards this season alone for her outstanding play. So I take nothing away from Caitlin Clark. Also, if you were watching the tournament, Caitlin is a competitor, okay? And talk about bringing the competitive spirit back to sport. Women's basketball did that, and she was paramount in that. Her main thing this year, or her go-to, what she was known for, was putting the hand in the face. I think it's John Cena. He's a wrestler, and that's like his move. Oh, but she was putting the hand to the face to everybody. And when she put 41 on South Carolina in the semifinals, the game before the championship, oh, she was facing everybody. Okay. But quite as kept LSU before the game, they said, now, you know, what she's been doing, that's good and all, but we are a different beast, meaning LSU. You need to come ready because we will be ready for you, Caitlin Clark, and ready they were. But still, Caitlin put up 40 points, I believe, in 3 consecutive games. And again, like I said, she dropped 41 on South Carolina. But needless to say, as the game was winding down, Angel Reese, the forward for LSU, 6'3", that's they call her the Barbie doll. She's they have a name for her. But she put it right back to her, and she did it in her face. Now, a lot of people say, you know, that might have been overboard. But, hey, you know, at the end of the day, we're dealing with young adults here. But she waited for Caitlin to promptly walk past her, and she went and found Caitlin. She put the hand in her face. She also put her hand up and pointed to her ring finger, meaning like, yes, we are the ones getting the ring. And she received a lot of backlash for that, saying it was unsportsmanlike. Now, but nobody said anything about Caitlin when she was doing it. So pretty much, ladies, I just do you have a problem with how Angel Reese, you know, maybe she was overt with it, but again, it's all in competition. Do you have a problem with how she put it back on Caitlin, using her own celebratory gestures back in her face? Janelle, we'll have you start off with that.
Absolutely not, because I actually watched a great deal of the tournament. I kind of started following LSU because I used to follow Shaq's daughter when she was in high school, and she actually goes to LSU. She plays basketball for LSU, so I started following them. And those girls are bad. I cannot take anything away from anybody on that team. Nor can I say anything, you know, about the way that the other girl plays. She's a good player as well, but the problem is, you cannot be arrogant and be all up in somebody's face and trash talk behind somebody's back and in somebody's face and don't expect to get it back, especially when they smashing your face in the mud. I don't have a problem with it. I absolutely don't have a problem with it. You give what you get.
Yep.
This is, we grown-ups now. We not in high school no more.
All right. Hey, Lou, would you like to comment on that?
Hey, Lou, what say you? That was what you're supposed to say. No, I don't. I agree with Janelle. Because if you're going to dish it out, you got to be able to take it. And if you lose, That's even better.
Hey, Rashad, what's up? Stop. Thank you so much for tuning in to the show tonight. I think I saw some more people come in here. Eric tuning in. Ladies, we are in total agreement. If you can't dish it out, if you can dish it out, then you need to be able to take it. Which Caitlin Clark was more than willing to absorb. I commend her. She acted like she didn't see it. Every time somebody asked, she's done like 3 or 4 interviews since they lost the championship. And in each one of them, she says that, no, I really wasn't paying attention. I was trying to get to the handshake line. Or she was like, I was just concerned about my teammates. I really commend her for her response to all of the backlash as well. And also sticking up for Angel Reese. If you don't know or if it's not apparent, Caitlin Clark of Iowa, yes, she is a white female basketball player, and Angel Reese is unapologetically black. I do want to read these comments from Angel because apparently this has been, she's been dealing, she's very outspoken. Just cute as a button, but she's very outspoken. And she said this after the game. She says, I quote, "All year I was critiqued for who I was. I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year when other people do it and y'all don't say nothing. So this is for the girls that look like me, for those that want to speak up for what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did before tonight. It was bigger than me tonight. And Twitter is going to go into a rage every time," end quote. I was disappointed. I think I was really disappointed with the backlash that Angel was receiving. Again, because either you weren't aware of how Caitlin Clark was, I don't want to say behaving, but her competitive spirit. Maybe you weren't aware of how she was throughout the whole tournament. But for Angel to just receive, like I said, all of the backlash, I don't know if it was the backlash per se or the amount of backlash she was receiving. But it was very disappointing because I would just so that we would know, I wonder how Caitlin Clark would have been if they had won. Do you wonder about that, Janelle and Nate Lewis? Like when she was doing everything, leading up to the championship game, I wonder what Caitlin Clark would have done if Iowa would have pulled off that national championship. I can only imagine.
You already know she would have been clowning the even worse than what she had been prior to the game. I'm so sick of it always being a two-sided street. Mm-hmm. It's okay for one to do it and not the other. Because she's white, she gets away with this or she gets away with that, and then the black girl has to be slammed because she's showing a competitive nature. Black women are inherently competitive, and we have no choice but to be because the world has not handed us anything. We've got to go get what we want, and that's what that girl did. So I'm not faulting her. I'm faulting everybody else who want to be, who wants to talk negatively about her because of her actions or the way she is constant. That girl is constantly getting it, and it's not just her. It's other members on her team that are. It's the same thing. It's like I can't be proud of myself or can't, have some kind of type of dignity because I know who I am. I mean, come on. Now, it's ridiculous.
Charles Barkley said that it was unfortunate that her taunting overshadowed the game. That boy needs to sit down and somebody sock him in his head.
Mm. Well, I think the intent was the way that Angel Reese played. She was voted outstanding player of the tournament or of the game. I'm sorry. And what we're talking about is her gestures after the game. So I think I understand what he was saying. It's just like, let's talk about how dominant she was on the court versus how she responded at the end of the game with her celebratory gestures. So yeah, I agree with him. All of this is overshadowing what she brought to that championship game. That's how I took it.
How old is the girl? How old is she? How old?
Angela's what, 20?
Yeah.
21, maybe? Maybe 20. 20 or 21.
What would you do? 20 and 21. Come on now.
Yeah.
People need to. Yeah, come on.
But I mean,
see if she's
35.
I can see if she was 35 or something like that, but she's young.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl threw it at her. And like she said, she ghetto. She ain't trying to be nothing but who she is.
Yeah.
She ain't ghetto, but she's just young, you know?
Right. To piggyback off what Janelle said, yeah, when Caitlin Clark does it, it's competitive spirit. When Angel does it, it's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's double standard that we consistently see in sports, period. Let's move to now our first lady, Jill Biden. So we all know that when championship teams, when they win, they have a visit to the White House. One quick caveat, though. I am also disappointed in Coach Tim Mulkey of LSU for not saying or standing up for her player through all of this. She's been very quiet. Not sitting well with me that she's not standing up for the player as well. But I digress. Let's move on to the White House issue. So Joe Biden, like I said, we know that all championship games, they get the invitation to the White House. Up until the Trump presidency, this is just a standard celebration. Now, whether it, you know, we dealt with COVID and all of that kind of stuff, so we can understand why teams not going to the White House was, why it stopped. But now, the invitation has been given to LSU to come to the White House to celebrate. Well, Jill Biden, First Lady, she was giving an interview, and she says, here we go. Let me find it here. hold on. So sorry, y'all. Here we go. Here we go. So she says, she was also attending the game as well. She was at the championship game. And she says, I quote, "I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. Iowa should come too because they played such a good game," end quote. Now, of course, she's backpedaling. Her White House, her press secretary, walking back, you know, the runner-up comment, saying that, you know, she was just kind of caught up in the moment and just kind of trying to congratulate Iowa and their success. Angel Reese is having none of it. And Angel said, well, how about this? Let's not even go to the White House. Let's just go to the Obama. I said, oh, my goodness. Go ahead, Angel. I'm not even mad at her. But, you know, I was talking to my dad about this, and, you know, we were talking about how quickly will it take for the retraction to come out. And, you know, he made the comment that, because I had a feeling that she was going to say, oh, you know, I said it in jest, or, you know, I didn't mean that, or whatever. And he made the statement that she meant it, but if there was no uproar about it, then let's see if we can get Iowa in the White House. But if there is backlash, then let's go ahead and do the politically correct thing and say, no, it wasn't our intention. We know that only the champions should come. I am extremely disappointed in Joe Biden. I do not believe Michelle Obama would have made that mistake. I don't know if any first lady would have made that mistake. But again, it goes to show you the mindset of, let me just say it, white America.
Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She spoke what was in her heart. And
exactly.
We people need that. We need to see what's going on. Okay.
Exactly. LSU, yes, it is a predominantly black team. I'm not going to say that LSU is a predominantly, because it's not an HBCU. But when it comes to women's basketball, the team is predominantly black. Iowa, you already know. So for her to say that Iowa should also come because they had such a brilliant season, Jill Biden, I'm going to need you to go, in the words of Tiff, go and have several seats. That should never have come out of your mouth. Again, just utterly disappointed. Ladies, I want to give you the floor, though, to hear your thoughts just on the comments that were made, period, and then her trying to backtrack them. And also, Angel Reese, if you want to comment on her comment saying that, you know, let's not even go to the White House, let's go to the Obamas. Hey, Lou, we'll have you kick that one off.
I didn't hear. Can you tell me what exactly Jill Biden said?
She said, I quote, I know we'll have the champions come to the White House. Iowa should come, too, because they played such a good game, end quote.
Okay, so that was what she said. Okay, well, we're going to have the champions come. Well, when have you had the champions and the losers come? Usually it's only the champions. Last time I checked, wasn't it?
That is
correct. Could you correct me if I'm wrong?
You are so
correct.
You
know, okay, so, but she'd rather have the white people up in the White House than the black people. You just better say it, Lucinda. Say it again. Y'all heard me.
You better co-sign yourself, ain't Lou? I know that's right. Janelle, your thoughts?
I have none. Ignorance these days, especially coming out of that White House, is just running rampant. I'm just over all of them.
That's
not over.
Not
over all of them, Jadelle.
I am, I'm. You know, I don't do the politics thing, but I promise, if his old behind and his wife just don't go sit down somewhere, I just can't take the foolishness right now. I can't.
I love it. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call. I haven't even gone back to the studio here. That's the number to call to talk to the ladies. But hit us up on the timeline. Give us your thoughts. Larise, thank you so much for tuning in. Javier, Nate, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Frederick says on the timeline, I don't have a problem with it. They should know by now how we get down. She started it and they finished it. I think it's good for the sport as long as it doesn't get out of hand. That's in response to Angel Reese's, her celebratory gestures after the game. Let's see. Sasha says, I love the way Reese and LSU also made it known that they saw the actions against South Carolina. South Carolina has, South Carolina has a team with three starters going to the WNBA and was on a historic win streak. That is so correct. I think it was 42 games in a row. Talk about respect, indeed, when you dish it out. Definitely. So, for tuning in to the show tonight. As I always say, yes, so, y'all. But, yeah, so the White House, I don't know. I don't know, ladies. Do you think that LSU will go to the White House for the celebration?
Honestly, I don't know. I personally, if it were me, I wouldn't go. I could care less about. Listen, I just want a championship. You think I care about a White House full of old crazy white people? I don't.
I love it. Okay, let me just stop. Maybe if the Obamas was in there, that would be fine, you know. But I'm with Janelle.
Yeah, I mean, just for the simple fact, you know, how, I guess, historic it is. And, you know, not everybody gets the opportunity to win a championship and to go. I can't say that I wouldn't go, but Jill Biden, she would be there and I wouldn't see her. I could honestly say that. Now, Joe may not remember, you know, when they come or who they are when they get there. But
Right.
Let me leave Joe alone.
Yeah, doing the Trump thing, he's ain't losing his mind. He probably wouldn't remember. Jill might not even remember him, too. They might think somebody's going to come in and take over. You never know.
I don't think I could pass up the opportunity to go to the White House. And then also, you know, because the Obamas, they were there. So I would like to go and see, you know, their portraits and all of that good stuff. But, I'm just disappointed in Jill Biden. Also, let's see, Angel, there was something else you said that I just thought was worth mentioning. Here she goes. She says, I quote, I'm not going to lie to you. I don't accept the apology because you said what you said. I said what I said. Sounds like Mary J. Blige from Ghost. And like, you can't go back on certain things that you say. This was Angel Reese speaking on a podcast, talking to Brandon Marshall. You know, they have their podcast, I Am Athlete. she went on to say, I mean, you felt like they should have came because of sportsmanship, right? They can have that spotlight. We'll go to the Obamas. We'll see Michelle. We'll see Barack, end quote. So, yeah, Angel Reese, she's not having it. But it'll be interesting to see if you know, she does attend the White House ceremony. But 347-826-7924, that is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. Ladies, any comments on Angel's comments?
No, I'm good. Y'all, it's been said.
All right. Well, I tell you what, on that note, we're not going to go to a break because it's only an hour, and we want to maximize every minute that we have until 10 p.m. So what I will do is, of course, we will do our shout-out. I'm going to do
DJ, no sports music. I didn't write about sports tonight.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Please.
That heads up there. All right, so we will go ahead. Oh, hold on. Let me get the studio here. All right, so it is roll call time. Danelle, are you with me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm in the house.
Hey, Lou, what say you?
I do.
Oh, it's no secret. Ladies love sports, too, with TJ.
Oh, yes, they do. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. But you already know the on the wall. It is time for the baddest city in the land when her pen hits. And it's time. So, Ms. Wilson, what do you have on tap for us tonight?
Good evening, LL Sports 2. I have some news for you. Did you know that we're living in the last days? And this is not a temporary craze. Do you not see the sign? There's a spiritual decline. People are lacking love for each other, hating their mother, father, sister, and brother. Depression and anxiety are at an all-time high. So many murders and suicides, and no one knows why. There are earthquakes and floods in various places, kidnapping of bodies with no traces. We need Jesus more than ever, because Satan thinks he's clever. In 4 days, we will celebrate Resurrection Day. This is when Jesus rose from the grave. We as believers should pray and not lose heart, because the enemy would love to tear us apart. We should daily read the word and frequently fast and not meditate on the things of the past. We should witness to others every chance we get, letting them know that Jesus died and canceled their debt. Happy Resurrection Day to everyone. Let's praise the risen Savior and God's Son. For the battle has been fought, and the victory has been won.
I must say, awesome job, Amen. Oh, all right. All right.
I was just here.
All right. 347-826-7924. That is the number to call to talk to the ladies tonight on LL Sports 2. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into basketball since it is basketball season. I think I'm going to save the Lamar Jackson topic for next week because hopefully we'll have some information. But he released some information. He dropped a bomb. What was it during the owners and coaches meeting, you know, about the trade. So, but I don't want to try to rush through that. So, ladies, we'll just table that conversation for next week when we're back to our regularly 2 hour schedule programming. But let's go ahead and jump to basketball because we are heading into the playoffs. Oh my goodness, yes, I had to wear my Bulls attire tonight because we are actually. Let me go ahead. I saw the standings. what teams do. But I'm just excited because I never thought that the Bulls were going to be making it in. Now, I know we're not going to go far. We're in the 10th spot. So I had to wear my Bulls tire here before we get put out of the playoffs. We might be out by next time we come on. I don't know. But anyway, so playing the Milwaukee Bucks right now, without Giannis and without Chris Middleton. So, hey, we might have a chance to win it, y'all. If the Bucks win tonight, they lock in the number one seed. Now, I don't know how much the Bucks would want to win or to lock in the number one seed, because in years past, when they were number one, they didn't do too well. They didn't fare too well in the playoffs. So they might want to lose and then go down to number two or three. I don't know. I'm just saying. Don't shoot the message. But yeah, the Bulls, we made it to the play-in tournament. We're going to play in. We might not play on, but we're going to play in. All right. And Janelle, your Hawks, they are in as well.
Yeah, I know. It don't mean nothing.
Okay. Kevin,
I'm not trying to be difficult, but we made it to the play-ins last year and nothing happened. They are not cohesive right now. They've got all kind of issues going on because the Hawks were good enough at the first half of the season that we shouldn't have even had to have an argument about a play-in. We should have actually been clinched a playoff spot, period. But they have so much going on with this whole situation with Clay and all these new parts, and this coach is not worth anything right now. It's too much going on. We ain't going nowhere. We're going to play in one spot and go sit down. That's what we're going to do.
All right. Well, we'll be on the couch together, Janelle. We'll be on the couch. And hopefully Ain't Lou's Clippers won't be joining us anytime soon. Stop it now. But, Kevin, I need Kevin. Kevin, you just dropped me on my head. Y'all, Kevin said y'all will be out of the play-in by the end of the show. Kevin, why you treating me so bad?
That's so rude. That is so wrong. Oh, my goodness.
It's so bad, Kevin. Not by the end of the show. That means I only got 28 minutes left to be in the play-in. Kevin, you wrong for that now.
Tina, you can take courage in the fact that that is actually a joke and not a true statement, because you guys have clinched that last spot.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, look, I had to
but say that was wrong.
That was wrong. That was a good one, though. I'll give it to you, Kevin. We were just talking about it. If you pissed out, you got to be able to take it. And that dish was served cold. I'm not going to lie to you. Cold-blooded. All right.
All right, funky.
Well, let's go ahead. We'll go over the standings here real quick. Heading into, I believe it's, what, three or four? I think no one has more than four games, but I think everyone has about three games left in the season. So as of tonight, right now, if the playoffs were to start, Milwaukee, they hold the number one spot. Then Boston, Philadelphia is holding down third. Cleveland is fourth. The New York Knicks hold down the fifth spot. The Brooklyn Nets, they are still doing their thing, y'all, holding down the sixth spot. Then for the play-in tournament, Miami is seventh, Atlanta is eighth, Toronto nine, and my Chicago Bulls are in the 10th spot. And they cannot move. So Chicago has locked down the 10th spot. So, again, if they were to play right now, Miami would be playing Atlanta, Toronto would be playing Chicago. So, but, again, three more games for everyone. And the play-in tournament starts April the 11th, all right? Now for the West. The West is the one that it is just so convoluted. Yeah. So Denver, they are currently holding the number one spot at 52-27. Memphis still holding on to the second spot. Sacramento, shout out to the Sacramento Kings. Who thought that they would be not only relevant, but as good as they are, all right? So they are 48-31 currently. Phoenix Suns are holding down the fourth spot. Golden State, they are slowly moving up. Let's see. Then we have the Clippers holding down the sixth spot. Talk about, don't call it a comeback. I just knew that the Lakers were out. I thought they had just pretty much given up. We didn't know if LeBron was coming back. LeBron said, hold on, Kimo Sabe. I still got something left in these legs. So Los Angeles, they hold down the Lakers. They hold the seventh spot. New Orleans Pelicans, the eighth. Minnesota Timberwolves, the ninth, and rounding out the top 10 right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder. The Dallas Mavericks have gone to Cancun already. What happened to the Dallas Mavericks, y'all?
I don't know, but that's crazy. I did not expect for them to be as far down. Now, here's the thing, and this is what I was talking about. Every time we talk about basketball, this is the thing that I was saying. The West is so tight right now as far as the difference between the games. Literally, if Dallas won every game and OKC lost every game and Minnesota lost every game, that would immediately pop them in the ninth. Everything is so tight. You got literally one or two games separated. And it's like with the Clippers and the Lakers, the only reason why the Clippers are over the Lakers is because they beat them. They have the exact same percentages. They're both 41-38. So it's like when I say everything is so tight in the West, there is no room to wiggle at all.
Yeah. Shout out to the Lakers for making it interesting, though. I got to give it to them because they were counted out, and everybody was saying it, and they heard it. And the Clippers and the Lakers, they play tonight. So, hey, Lou, I hope you got your caffeine or if you're going to be able to watch the game. It should be a good one because the Lakers, they are really playing some good ball. They are playing as a unit a lot better than they have been. But then they've also been able to play as a unit because pretty much everybody, well, since LeBron's been back, playing together. Anthony Davis, he's been more on the court than off the court. But, yeah, the Clippers and the Lakers, they are tied at 41-38. The Pelicans and the Timberwolves, they're only separated by one loss. They each have 40 wins, just one loss. And then, like I said, OKC. Right now, I think Dallas is holding down the 11th spot. But, I mean, they would need – in the words of Denise Williams, it's going to take a miracle for them to get into the play-in. But, I mean, they just – the acquisition of Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie has really been balling. And even Luka has been putting up the numbers, but it's just, they don't seem to be playing as a team. And if you watch just body language of Luka, he just doesn't seem happy. So Dallas went to the Western Conference Finals last year. And now they are on the verge of not even making it to the playoffs, not even the play-in.
Right.
How does that happen? And you acquire one of the top, what, I'd have to say top three or four players in the league right now with Kyrie Irving when he's on. That just doesn't make sense to me. But, again, it goes to show you how important the role players are. You can give up the kitchen sink to get, you know, a Lamborghini, but that Lamborghini can't do it all by himself. And they are suffering, meaning the Dallas Mavericks, they are suffering on the defensive side of the ball. Nobody's playing defense. So as much as they may put up 120, the other team's putting up 140. But, yeah, Dallas is, whew. I know Kyrie wasn't expecting this. And then when you see on the flip side how well the Phoenix Suns are doing with Kevin Durant coming back, I believe they're, what, 7-0? Since Kevin has returned, they haven't lost the game.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And Kevin looks really good. So for them, for the Phoenix Suns to be holding down the fourth spot, the West is going to be exciting. That's all I can say. I am really,
you know,
the playoffs.
See, but what I find interesting, it's actually kind of mind blowing for me, is the fact that the Brooklyn Nets lost both their superstars and they still managed to. I mean, I don't understand. It's like they literally made it seem like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving were everything, but they lost those two, and the Brooklyn Nets are literally sitting in the sixth spot right now. It's like, what is happening?
Yes, and they have a firm hold on the sixth spot.
Yes.
A firm hold. I'm like, they're 43 and 36. It's like they wanted
44-36. They won. They're 44-36. They won that last game.
Oh, okay. Okay. So 44-36. I mean, it's a testament. Tell somebody what they can't do, and they will show you what they can.
Right. Exactly. Because who saw that coming? I would have definitely bet that Dallas would have been in the playoffs over some over the Brooklyn Nets, especially after the shakeup that they had. Are you kidding me?
Come on. And not backing into the playoffs. Like I said, Brooklyn is there. Somebody's going to have to come see Brooklyn. I'm like, go ahead, Brooklyn. That's, and the Knicks. I mean, the New York Knicks. They are doing so well with the addition of Jalen Brunson. Talk about, like I said, talk about one man's trash is another man's treasure too. But Dallas, I believe that Dallas regrets that trade, giving up Jalen Brunson for Kyrie Irving. Moving Brunson to the Knicks in order to, you know, open up that room, that space to get a Kyrie Irving.
What's really mind blowing for me is that I would have thought that moving Kyrie to Dallas would have gave them a little edge, would have gave them something. But they are literally going in the wrong direction. They were gonna make the playoffs before that trade.
I know. So that just begs the question: what do you think it is now? That's what I was gonna lead to. I mean, do you think is it the chemistry? Do you believe that, because a lot of people are saying, or I say a lot of people were saying that this move, Kyrie to Dallas, was going to say a lot about Luka and his leadership abilities or skills. You know, he's played with some heavy hitters. Porzingis, who was the one he had right before Jalen Brunson, or was it Porzingis? Might have been Porzingis. There was another big name that he had, but it just, you know, you put these superstars or really key athletic people with Luka, but they don't seem, he doesn't seem to be able to take reins of the team and be that Kevin, you know, Kevin Durant that you need, or a John Morant that you need, you know, even a James Harden, you know, someone that can seem to galvanize and rally the troops to play for him.
And the crazy thing about it is he has some decent pieces on his team, because Tim Hardaway Jr. is on that team. JaVale McGee, although he's not what he was, he still has talent. He still has that mental toughness that they need to pull things together. I mean, they got some decent pieces on this team, so that's why I don't understand what is happening. I don't know if it's chemistry or what it is, but I know that Luka has got to get it together, because he is the leader of that team, and they're counting on him to pull this together. This is just it's unreal.
Yeah, Kevin.
I just
says,
did not expect that.
Kevin says Dallas should have paid Brunson. I bet they regret that now. And then he also says Dallas gave up Dinwiddie and Finney Smith in the Kyrie trade. That's right. Those two, the defensive prowess. Dinwiddie, that boy, he was a ball hawk. But he says gave up Dinwiddie and Finney Smith in the Kyrie trade. They have no defense now. But even with no defense, defense wins championships, so you're not going to go far if you don't play defense in any league. But, I mean, Kevin, what do you think it is with Luka? Because he's worse than LeBron James now. And we all know LeBron James is Cry Me a River. Or he had been for a while. Every time somebody, he go in the paint or he gets touched, you know, it's just he fall out, you know, it's just a foul times three. But Luka just seems to be begging. He's like Lenny Williams now. They're begging for a foul, begging for somebody to take him, to let him go to the free throw line. It just seems like it's something with him. But I don't know. Hey, Lou, go ahead.
Maybe he's dissatisfied with the moves that you know Dallas has made. I don't know. I know it's something. Because they are definitely headed in the wrong direction. I'm telling you, before that move, they were going to the playoffs.
I believe they were fourth. They were sitting in like fourth or fifth.
Yeah, there was no question about them. That is, you know, you could question a lot of folks, but like the Clippers and the Lakers, but you couldn't question them. Now it's like, what has happened?
Yeah. What's up, Tasha? I see you in the house. Kevin says, how about some love for Rob Pelinka making those moves at the trade deadline? I will not. I shall not. Kevin, you're pushing it now. You're pushing it too far.
Kevin's pushing it.
That is his job to make the Lakers relevant. Now, you know, if you keep Anthony Davis on the court, you know, you have, that's 80% of the battle right there. It really don't matter who's out there on the field or what moves they make. But just be happy that the Brow is playing. But don't get too, you know, don't get too up there. But what's St. Louis?
what place is the Lakers? Because I haven't looked on there in a few days.
The Lakers are seventh.
Well, they right behind us, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, but the problem is they're only seventh because you guys beat them when they played. If they lose, if you guys lose tonight, that's going to change.
Yeah, they'll be sick.
Well, we're still in the playoffs, okay.
I'm with you, Lou. I'm with you. It don't matter what number. You there.
Six or seven, it don't matter. We up in there. And hopefully
Actually, Miss Lucinda, it does make a difference because where you land matters because of who you're going to play.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's do or die, baby, just like football. It's do or die. If you don't win those, is it seven games, right? Four of them, you're out anyway. O-U-T-S-T-O-O-S-O-P.
Well, at least you get four chances. For football, it's one and done. Like, you
know, I know, huh?
At least you get four chances. But with the Lakers, as long as they stay seventh and eighth, you know, they're guaranteed a spot. They'll, you know, they'll either be in the seventh spot or the eighth spot. But yeah, Clippers, they should want to win this game tonight.
Well, they do want to win, girl, but you know, wanting and doing is two different things. Now you heard me.
That's true. That is true. Kevin says Luka and Kyrie don't really fit. Both ball dominant players. Plus, he's a crybaby too. Yeah, I just don't remember Luka being such a crybaby, though. I really don't, before Kyrie came. But
he's scared of Kyrie, girl.
I ain't going to say that now. I ain't going to say you're scared of the man. All right.
Don't say it, I'll say it.
Okay, all right. I don't know about all that. But, Janelle, I did want to pose this question to you because I remember way back when it was Luka and Trey and all that, and you were wanting, you know, Luka, you were hoping that the Hawks would have attained Luka's services. Do you still feel like Dallas got the better of that end with getting Luka and y'all getting Trey? Since I ain't none of them really, neither one of them did anything really for their team.
Yeah, okay, let me explain to you why I still would have preferred Luka over Trey.
Okay.
I'm not taking anything away from Trey. The boy's a baller. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so when
but
you get coached,
Luka. Luka has the experience that I was looking for. He has the right temperament. He has things that Trey doesn't have. Trey's still young. Luka played overseas for years before he came over here. So he literally would have given us an edge that we don't have with Trey. Trey's a hothead. He's gotten to the point where his arrogance has exceeded his ability to play ball. Between his attitude with his teammates and his attitude with the coaches, it's causing a problem for us. We don't need no more drama in this city. We got enough drama going on. Every time we get a decent basketball team going on, something happens. I think we still would have been better getting Luka than Trey because there are things that we've had to endure and things that we've had to deal with that we wouldn't have had to.
Okay, I like what you said, that his arrogance is exceeding his talent. Wow. That's
true.
It's true. It's true.
All right, Charles Barkley.
All right, who?
Charles Barkley.
She done called me Charles Barkley. But if she would pay attention for 5 minutes to what's going on with my team and what has been going on with my team for the past couple of years, and she would understand why I'm saying that. It's the truth. I dare anyone to battle me on that. I am not taking away from this boy's talent because he is very talented, but he's gotten to the point where his talent has swelled his head so big that nobody can coach him, nobody can play with him, nothing. He's not it's the cohesiveness that we had a couple of years ago. It's gone because, number one, why would you get rid of a coach that has brought us out of the rabbit hole and finally brought us to a point where we're winning games? You get rid of that coach because of one player. Bring us in another coach who literally cannot coach this boy. I mean, it's I'm not going to be difficult. I promise I'm not, because you know how I am. But I ain't a realist. I will always love my Hawks. I will always root for my Hawks, just like I'll always root for the Falcons. But I promise you, right now, Trey is a problem for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get no argument from me there. Because y'all have been moving in the wrong direction. I mean, what was it, Nate? I want to say Nate Robinson, but that's not it. What was the coach that took y'all to the Eastern Conference Finals?
And they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And it just makes no sense to me.
Yeah. So definitely moving in the wrong direction. But and now it's an organization problem. The organization, the higher ups. I ain't even going to say the coach. And now it's the Atlanta front office, because now you've given him so much power. Why would he change? What's going to force him to acquiesce? Y'all have already given him, you've already let him know that, you know, he's a big man on campus. So we'll see. We'll see how, you know, how long this coach lasts until they, you know, try again.
Five-year
deal, didn't he? The coach I have now?
Yeah, but it's not going to make a difference. I think Nate Dismembrin is his name, too.
Yeah.
I think his deal, they shut his deal down, and he was in the middle of a contract.
Yeah.
So it's not going to make a difference. It doesn't matter how many years he signed for. If the owners of the Hawks decide that they've had enough, then he's out the door, too. But what the problem is, they need to get a handle on the player, not the coach.
Right.
Nate was not the problem. The problem was this young boy and his inability to realize that he is not everything. Basketball is one sport that you cannot expect one player to do everything. For years we've had you can go back and pick any one of the stars on any team and realize that you cannot that one person. All the way even back to Michael Jordan, he had Scottie, and when it wasn't Scottie, it was somebody else. You cannot just expect one player to carry a team. And quite as it's kept, the boy doesn't even have the ability to carry a team like that right now. He's still young in the league.
Yeah. That's true. That is true. Well, we shall see. By the time we come back, it will be the the playoffs will have started. So we'll have we come back on the 12th. So we'll be in the midst of the play-in tournament. So we shall see. But with that, y'all, it is a wrap. It is the show. Next week we will be back to our regular scheduled programming, and we won't be rushing through the show here like Michael Jackson in the Pepsi commercial. But right now,
Tina, Denise Jackson, that is, you are really out of control tonight. That was great.
It's time for our shout-outs. Janelle, you're up.
Well, you done knocked the words out of my mouth. All I can say is I love you ladies, and have a safe weekend, because that was a lot, Tina. That was a lot.
I'm sorry.
I'm not even a Michael Jackson fan like that, but that was right there.
Yeah, and I am, and that was the start of his demise. I'm sorry, Michael. God forgive me. Okay, thank you, Janelle. Oh, so is that it? I'm sorry, Janelle. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Wow.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you so much.
He's brother, TJ, you gonna talk about him like that? You gonna be ashamed of yourself? Shame on you! Shame! Oh, I want to give a shout out. There are no Bertha got a birthday coming up here. Wait. Oh, yeah. Bertha's birthday is going to be the 8th. That's D'Angelo's wife, my sister-in-law, yo. Auntie-in-law, I don't even know what she is to you. But anyway, she'll be 79 on the 8th of April. And then we have Resurrection Sunday. Everyone, happy Resurrection. Oh, just excited. I'm just excited. So we're coming back on the 12th, correct?
Correct.
And okay, Miss Terry, I don't know where you are, but you're so very absent tonight. But I want you to know that I'm going to miss you, and I hope to see you next week because I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Janelle, I love you. Cuckoo-doo. I'm a cow now. Cuckoo-doo. So I just want you to know
wow.
that.
Wow. Dude, cow thing.
And I just want to tell you that I love you. Thank you for just coming out supporting TJ like you do, and just supporting the fam. We appreciate you so much. TJ, what can I say? You're just a sweetie poo in a woo-woo-woo. I just love you so much. The show was wonderful. I'm kind of glad to get back to 2 hours, though. Okay, really am. Anyway, so I just want to say that, you know, you keep on doing what you're doing because what you're doing is about to pay off, I believe it, in 2023.
All right.
Love you.
Love you both right back. And God willing, we'll be back 8 p.m. next Wednesday. All right? Love you, ladies. All right, y'all. That is the show tonight. As I always say, whether you listen 2 minutes, 20 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours, we thank you. We love you for the support. Share the show, all right? Tonight's Wednesday Wikipedia, 1965, the color of National Football League penalty flags used by the officials, they were changed from white to gold, all right? So they used to be white. 1967, Wilt Chamberlain of the 76ers, he set an NBA playoff record when he got 41 rebounds in a game. And in 1984, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar of the L.A. Lakers, he became the all-time NBA regular season scoring leader when he broke Wilt Chamberlain's record of 31,419 career points. And now we know that LeBron James holds that title, all right? So that's going to do it for your Wednesday Wikipedia. Shout out to birthdays today. There was a lot of people who birthdays today, but I didn't know them. But shout out to Pharrell Williams. He turns a big 50 today, all right? Shout out to Marlon of Silicon Valley. Shout out to Ronbo of Ronbo Sports. Shout out to the Chambers brothers, Harold and Marvin Chambers. A great big shout out to the Chop Shop, Robert Hatter, Jim Hicks, and sometimes Chris Walker. Wonderful men out of Houston, Texas, doing big things from 12 to 2 Central Time. Great big shout out to Aunt Lou for bringing the strength with Lucinda's lyrics tonight. Make sure that you check the recording. She did an awesome job. On Resurrection Sunday. And shout out to the Triple Threat, Janelle, tonight. Terry, she's on vacation, so she is definitely missed, but we keep her in our prayers for safe travel. But shout out to the Triple Threat tonight, Aunt Lou and Janelle. Happy birthday shout out to my cousin, Tamara Smith. She'll be celebrating her birthday on Resurrection Sunday, April the 9th. So shout out to you, cuz. I love you. Shout out to my daddy, Lawrence Jackson, to my brother, D'Angelo Jackson. I love you, fellas. And, of course, last but by no means least, to my mom, Miss Denise Green, for everything you do for me, for LL Sports 2. I love you. All right? So that is going to do it for the show tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday. So that leaves time for one more thing. That is TJ's motivational moment. All right? And if you know me, you know I love a good quote. So I saw this quote, and it really spoke to me. And it says, faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead of me, God's already there. Let me repeat that. Faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead of me, God's already there, meaning it's already been worked out. You know, your girl's got a lot on her plate. I've had a lot on my plate for the past several months. But, you know, just have to know and believe that God has already worked it out. I think that's why that quote resonated with me. And faith, we all know what faith is. In case we don't, let me give you a quick reminder. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 6. Verse 1, now faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
to know when we believe and when we have faith, we have to know that just because we can't see it now, because we may not see it tomorrow, that does not mean that it's not there. That does not mean that it's not already worked out. In verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to meet him. You know, we have to know, we have to believe. And God doesn't ask much of us. All he says is we have to have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's all we have to have, y'all. But again, faith tells me that no matter what lies ahead of me, God's already there. But we just have to believe, know that it's already done. And he will do the rest. I'm TJ, and that's my motivational moment. Until next time, be good to others, be good to yourselves, but most of all, y'all be blessed. Bye-bye.